Well, good morning, everybody. I figured since you all came out so early, I'm going to try to make you feel like it's evening and you're going to the movies. So what I'm going to do in this presentation today is something a little bit different. My goal is to try to use the 15 minutes that I've got really efficiently. And so what I will do is I'll show you a short video that gets all the technical and difficult parts hopefully across to you, and then we'll have about half of the time for interaction and discussion, which is, I think, one thing I'd like to see maybe as a different model at these conferences, is an opportunity to try to increase interaction and, Okay, so let me find my mouse. When something fits well, it's much more likely to work. And that's true whether you're wearing a bike helmet to protect this resource or growing a winter cover crop to protect and improve the soil. My research journey with cover crops and organic vegetables began in 2001. And after thousands of hours in short and long-term experiments, I'm surprised to say that I began to question if cover crop mixtures of legumes and cereals are well suited for organic vegetable production. Let me give you a little background on these mixtures, and then I'll explain why I question if they're a good fit for organic vegetable production in California. The most common types of cover crop mixtures used in California have 90% legume seed and 10% cereal seed. These mixtures have radically different root systems that can potentially complement each other. The extensive fibrous roots of many cereals, like rye, can quickly capture nitrogen left over from previous vegetable crops and recycle it so that it doesn't leach into the groundwater. In contrast, roots of most legumes can develop nodules, where bacteria can capture nitrogen from the air and convert it into forms that the plant needs. We call this nitrogen fixation. Theoretically, these mixtures would fit well into rotations with organic vegetables because they could potentially reduce the need for expensive organic fertilizers. These fertilizers are commonly used in high-value organic vegetable production systems, primarily to add nitrogen to the soil and ensure high-quality vegetable yields. But here's the problem. At typical seeding rates for cover crop mixtures, weeds grow extremely well and can add huge amounts of weed seed to the soil. We call weed seed in the soil the weed seed bank. It's a spooky thing. And unlike your regular bank, you want your weed seed bank to have a low or zero balance. Because when this weed seed germinates during your next vegetable crop, it can increase weed management costs and therefore reduce profits. This is a major problem in organic vegetable systems, especially in regions like California, where many weed species and vegetables grow year-round, and where hand labor for weeding is becoming more limited. So how do you tackle this weed problem in cover crop mixtures? Well, increasing the cover crop seeding rate to make the cover crop more dense or crowded works really well because high-density cover crops shade the soil quickly, which stunts the weeds and prevents them from producing all those unwanted seeds. Over time, this will reduce the size of the weed seed bank. Unfortunately, the seed costs for a high-density weed-suppressive legume cereal mixture can be nearly 10 times higher than a high-density weed-suppressive pure cereal cover crop. The mixtures are more expensive because they're dominated by relatively large seeded legumes that are more expensive than cereal seed. Because of the large seeded legumes, the mixtures need to be planted at much higher seeding rates than pure cereals to get an adequate cover crop density to suppress weeds. So here's an important question. Are the higher seed costs of these mixtures that are necessary to suppress weeds worth the potential nitrogen benefits from the legumes? For these benefits to occur, the legumes need to thrive and produce large amounts of biomass. But my research over several years has shown that legumes often struggle to compete with cereals and mixtures, and that even when legumes make up 90% of the seed in the mixture, legume biomass is often less than 25% of final cover crop biomass. This has been the case with both legume oat and legume rye mixtures. Several factors can make this situation even worse with the legumes. Given this problem with legume survival and biomass production in mixtures, which in turn limits nitrogen fixation, rather than growing expensive legume cereal mixes, it may be far more cost effective and environmentally sound to grow a pure cereal cover crop that's really good at recycling nutrients and then purchase organic fertilizers to add nitrogen during the next vegetable crop. But it's important to mention that many common organic fertilizers are made from materials like manure that have high amounts of phosphorus, often far more phosphorus than our crops need. Recent information from long-term experiments in California found that over-fertilization with phosphorus can be a serious problem in some organic systems. Ironically, this brings us back to why it would be great if we could figure out how to efficiently integrate legume cereal mixtures into organic vegetable systems. They could add nitrogen without adding other nutrients like phosphorus that we may not need to add. My suggestion for cover crop management in organic vegetables is to take a long-term systems approach that's focused on frequent cover cropping and weed management. Our long-term research with cover crops and organic vegetables has shown that in terms of soil quality and vegetable yields, frequent cover cropping every year if possible is far more important than whether a legume cereal mixture or non-legume cover crop is used. I only suggest using legume cereal mixes if they're consistent with this long-term approach to frequent cover cropping and weed management. I hope this has helped you to understand the complexity of integrating legume cereal cover crop mixtures with organic vegetable production. There may be times and places where they're a good fit, and others where they're really not. What do you think? Thanks for watching and stay tuned for more exciting sustainable ag research. Okay, so thank you for watching. I'd like to know what you think, both about the content that I presented as well as the method. Do you think it's an effective way to get things across? I've never done this before. I've got to remember to speak into the mic. So, it's your turn. And actually, if I can ask you to use the mic, sorry, because this is a live streaming session, so there may be somebody in Zambia or Papua New Guinea, where I grew up, that's listening right now. Oh, yeah.
Eric, I really like that. I think that to simplify your results with the stick figures and stuff was really nice. And just the very this is the kind of the simple way you presented what probably is a whole lot of complex information in a short format was terrific.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions about the?
Excellent video and work, and I'd say your results are pretty consistent with what we've seen in Pennsylvania with mixtures on organic farms. These are grain farms in Pennsylvania. The non-legumes tend to dominate the biomass and also the nitrogen content. I guess I'm wondering with, you know, using, say, a pure cereal rye or, you know, a pure non-legume, have you tested, you know, whether there is nitrogen immobilization from those pure non-legumes? You know, could you get away with just recycling with the non-legume and not having to add the supplemental fertilizer? Is there enough residual, you know, in the organic pool?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the main reasons that I'm questioning whether or not these mixtures are better than, say, a pure cereal is because in our long-term trial, we have non-legumes, mustard and rye. And our subsequent vegetable yields, both lettuce and broccoli, tend to be very similar where regardless of what cover crop we grew. So that would suggest that actually just recycling is a critical part of these are high value, high input organic systems. You know, we're using a lot of organic fertilizers. They're all certified, but just that recycling component is critical in those systems. And that's why I suggest that just any cover crop is more important than the type of cover crop in terms of nutrient cycling. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a problem with your crops, but one reason we want mixtures is to delay the release of the nitrogen that the legumes fix. So have you looked at the timing of release from your cover crops?
We haven't published any of our work on that yet, but what our system usually involves is we mow the cover crop down and then we incorporate it and wait about, say, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks before we plant our next vegetable. And one of the challenges we have is if it rains during that time. We actually have already had a major release of nitrogen from the cover crop, regardless of whether it's a rye or, say, a mixture. And we can actually lose that. So I like the idea that these mixtures can potentially help us to better synchronize our release with crop demand. But what I've started to appreciate more and more is how complicated it is. I think we've got years and years to go before we can figure out how to make it work. That's why I try to put a bit of a positive note. Maybe we can figure out a way to get these mixtures in there. But I think what's critical is we've got to have more research in that area. Stephen?
Eric, I really enjoyed the format as well. Well done, and I think it's great when you could just focus on one or two main concepts that you want to get across and build a story around it, and I think everybody really could walk away from your talk and with a lot of value. I do think that it is still important to kind of consider these grass legume mixes, especially in your location, you know, high intensity vegetable systems where you really have to work the soil up a lot to get a clean seed bed. Grasses are a problem in that respect as well anyway because they have more persistent residues. I mean, perhaps it's time to consider some other types of grasses that might decompose faster, that might be less aggressive so that you can get a little bit more legume in the mix. Is that something that you've looked at?
No, that's a great issue. The clogging of equipment with pure cereals can be a major, major problem. And it's definitely the case in our situation where the mixtures decompose faster, they're less likely to clog subsequent planting equipment. But here's the big challenge with that is the seed costs are so high. And, you know, when you're 10 times the seed cost for a legume cereal mixture to get weed suppression, yes, you do get better residue management with that, but is it worth the cost? Are you getting enough nitrogen fixed in that amount of time? And we've actually calculated, just sort of a rough calculation, 25% legume biomass in our system it's not a cost-effective way to get nitrogen. And some of that reason for the low nitrogen fixation ability of the legumes has to do with the way that we fertilize our vegetables. So we're over-fertilizing, I think, in many cases. And that, in turn, changes the whole way that the cover crop works. It gives a benefit to the cereal, and the legume tends to really struggle. So if we changed our whole system, then maybe in terms of fertilizer inputs, we would affect that. But that's very easy to say from a research standpoint. It's really hard to say when you're paying $1,500 to $3,000 an acre for land rent. And you've got to get, you know, a $10,000 crop twice a year off of that land to pay your bills. Thank you.